I'm curious this morning if any of you are here and you're hungry. Is there anybody here that's hungry? Is there anybody here that skipped breakfast because you were on your way out and, or maybe you went to your fridge and you opened it up and there wasn't much there. There was one stalk of celery and some mustard and you thought, I just got to go to church and forget this. People come to church hungry because we have a table of muffins and snacks and people devour them and the kids ravage that table. They come to church hungry. Maybe you do what happens, maybe this happens in your home as happens in our home, is when somebody's hungry, they are prompted by these feelings of hunger to walk into the kitchen and to open up the fridge and to leave the fridge open for a long time and to just stare into the fridge. Anybody else do that? Open refrigerator door syndrome. That's what it's called. Of course, we know we're wasting energy, we know we're wasting power, but we're hungry and we're looking for something. But what? What's gonna meet our hunger? What's going to satisfy us? A few years ago, the Snickers candy bar company came out with a series of ads. You probably remember the tagline, Snickers Satisfies. And it told a story of how people were moody or they were irritable or they were hangry. Anybody ever experience hanger? Don't point, just put your hand up for yourself. Or they're at work and they're distracted by their own hunger, and then they have a Snickers, and it ends with Snickers Satisfies. Anybody hungry for a Snickers right now? Alvin will run out and get you one. Are you hungry? We all know what it's like to experience physical hunger and to crave satisfaction for that hunger, but what about the deeper hungers of our lives? What about a soul that's hungry? Is it not true that sometimes we open the doors of life and we just stand there and stare and we're hungry and we don't know what we're hungry for? We don't know what will meet that hunger, what will satisfy us. Have you ever experienced that type of spiritual hunger? Well, Jesus talked about this in the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. What did he have to say? Let's find out. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 5 is where we are starting, and I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And our verse for today, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Pray with me. Living God, in our moments today of looking in your word, would you help us to get in touch with our own hunger? Would you help us to see in our lives where we are hungry and we are searching for what might satisfy? And would you teach us about your own hunger, about a hunger for righteousness? Would you share your hunger with us? In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. If you're just joining us, we are in a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been exploring these revolutionary sayings that Jesus began his sermon with. Jesus arrived on the scene, and he was announcing good news. The kingdom of God is here. A new kingdom was being inaugurated. And he was giving people the invitation to join and be a part of this new kingdom, to live under the good reign and rule of Jesus Christ, which which would break into every area of our lives. And he began by talking about some of the values of this new kingdom. In effect, he was saying, what, everything you've learned about the world is wrong. Because the values of the world would say, man, it's nice to be rich. You're lucky if you're rich. It's good to be powerful. You're blessed if you're aggressive and you get what you want. You're blessed if you're self-satisfied. You've filled your life with so much stuff that you don't need anyone or anything. What a great place to be. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to turn those values right upside down. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are desperate. Blessed are those who've hit rock bottom and they don't know what to do because they're out of resources. They're powerless. And then a helpless place with empty hands, they're ready to receive something from God. And instead of blessed are the self-satisfied, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. What did he mean by this? Well, let's explore this through three movements today. First, we're going to talk about the experience of hunger. Second, we're going to talk about the focus of that hunger. What's the focus of our hunger to be? And third, the filling of our hunger. So first, the experience of hunger. Did you know that to be human is to experience hunger? The very first thing you did when you were born was you told the world, and especially your mom, that you were hungry. Kids today are pretty good at letting us know when they're hungry, right? As Jesus spoke these words, he was very likely speaking to people who, as they listened to him, were experiencing physical hunger. They were poor. They knew what it was like to go to bed hungry, to put their kids to bed hungry. And he's connecting this physical craving with something very important, a spiritual teaching about our soul and our spiritual hunger. We use the word hungry if it's 12:15 and we usually have lunch at 12. We say, I'm hungry. But we're reminded that Jesus does not create us as self-contained, self-sufficient beings, but people who are constantly hungry. In a few moments, you're going to walk out of here and try to satisfy that hunger. I think about this because we have three teenagers at home, and they're always hungry. Every 2 hours, they, you know, reconvene in the kitchen and do the open refrigerator door stare because they're hungry. Could it be that God has made us as people, as human beings, to be needy and hungry and constantly craving satisfaction? And that this is a picture of our souls too. Our hunger is what drives us, what motivates us, what keeps us searching and longing towards something which would satisfy us. Someone has said this, you are what you crave. You are what you crave. If you crave the top job in your company, then you will use all of your resources and your energy to try to accomplish that. Or how about this gentleman, Steve Jobs, had a craving, a longing to create and innovate. And this hunger drove his life. It yielded some pretty amazing products, to be sure. 1,000 songs in your pocket, he said. But did you know this hunger, this longing that he had also cost him most of his personal relationships? Or what about this woman, a nun from Albania originally, who felt a call, a hunger to journey with some of Calcutta's most vulnerable? That hunger completely shaped her life. We can learn something about ourselves by asking ourselves, what is it that we're longing for? What are we hungering for? One man wrote this, Dear Pastor, I wonder if you can help me with a dilemma. I'm sure you're familiar with the old U2 song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." That could be the theme of my life. It's a strange feeling since I have, by all standards, he writes, achieved everything that most people work their entire lives for. My work as an investment banker has given me everything I could ever dream of: beautiful homes, nice cars, all the perks and luxuries you'd expect. I'm married to a woman. I have two kids I adore. I enjoy good health. All this came at a time earlier than I ever would have expected. And yet, I'm just not as happy as I think I should be. To be honest, I'm often restless. I'm bored. I often feel unsatisfied with my life. And sometimes at night, I feel hollow and empty. And I keep thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. Is there anybody here who's hungry, who can resonate in some way with this deep longing, who stands with the doors of our lives open and wonders, I'm hungry, but what am I hungry for? Some of us are hungry for success. We need to succeed. Some of us are hungry for status or salary or significance, for sex or for substances. Some of us are hungry for security. We just think, I want to ensure that my future is set and it's safe. And that's important to me. And some of us hunger for comfort or control. Some of us need to be needed by others. That's the hunger that drives us. What are you hungry for? Writer and philosopher David Foster Wallace talks about our pursuits, how we answer our hunger. He says, if you make your intellect your goal to be seen as smart, you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the edge of being found out. And if you make money and things your ultimate goal, to try to make them the source of your satisfaction, you'll never have enough. You'll never feel enough. And if you worship your body and beauty, your sexual allure, you'll always feel ugly. When time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. Is there anybody here who's hungry? What is it that you're hungering for? Well, Jesus says that it's blessed not just to hunger in general, but to hunger for something in particular. So let's look at this second section, which talks about the focus of our hunger. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What in the world is righteousness? Maybe righteousness sounds like a very religious word, a list of moral and spiritual things that you should do to be a good person. It's kind of religious rule-keeping, checking off boxes. Then I'm a righteous person. Is that what he's talking about? Well, just for a moment, we're going to have to do a little heavy lifting here, because righteousness is a key notion in the scriptures. It's an important term. And Old Testament scholar Gerhard Van Rad puts it this way. He says, there's absolutely no concept in the Old Testament with so central a significance for all the relationships of human life as that of righteousness. It's a relational term. It's the standard not only for man's relationship to God, but for his relationship to his fellows, reaching right down to the most petty wranglings. Indeed, it is even the standard for man's relationship to the animals and to his natural environment. And Van Rad goes on to say that righteousness is about right relatedness. That to hunger for righteousness is to hunger for the world to be a place of right relatedness, of right relationships, relationship with God, relationship with others, relationship with the earth, relationship with yourself. The righteousness is about seeing shalom, seeing our world be a place of beauty and of flourishing and of delight and of harmony. To hunger for righteousness is to hunger for the world to be as it should be. To hunger for righteousness is to hunger for the world to be as God intended it to be. Now, if you've got a little fogginess in your head right now and you're like, this is all very high level and very ethereal, let's try to ground this, shall we, in a little bit more real terms. Does anybody ever look at the world? Does anybody ever watch the news and wonder the world is not the way it's supposed to be? Does anybody get angry? Does anybody ever get heartbroken when you see the shape of our world and the shape of the broken relationships around our world? Is anybody hungry today? Take for a moment our relationship with the earth, with God's creation. Does anybody hear yet another story of environmental degradation and abuse of the environment and get bothered by it and go, this is not how it's supposed to be? Do you ever hunger for that abuse to stop? That we as people would change the way we relate with our world? Do you ever hear stories about sexual exploitation, about poverty, about violence, about racism, about homelessness, about the refugee crisis, and you think, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not what God wants or intended. Does anybody ever hear about another school shooting and say, this is not what God wants. This is not what God intended. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is to stare into the brokenness of the world and to be hungry for God to come and change that. For his righteousness to come, it's to pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't seek our righteousness, but in Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Does anybody have a broken relationship in their life? I can't tell you the number of times that people who come for prayer who are hungry, or people who email me or call and say, I'm torn up inside because of this broken relationship. And I'm hungry for it to be healed. I'm hungry for reconciliation, but it feels like there's no hope, but I'm hungry for it. Does anybody hunger for a relationship in your life that is not right? Someone tells me, I had a falling out with my brother and we haven't even spoken for 10 years. The other day I was with my son Ethan and we were at a hockey game, at his hockey game, and afterwards we stopped at Superstore to get some groceries and I saw a sight that I've seen hundreds of times and you have too, a woman outside Superstore. And she's sitting on the ground, and there's some blankets around her. And she has her head down. She's not making eye contact with anyone, and she holds up a sign that says, hungry, broke, no family, no support, chronically sick, help. And I don't know how you respond when you encounter people in that type of situation. Part of me wants to make eye contact with her, to look her in the eye, to remember that she's a child of God, an image bearer of God, somebody's sister, somebody's daughter. And it's heartbreaking to see, and sometimes I make eye contact and then they're mad that I don't give them any money, but I made eye contact. I want to assure what to do. But sometimes, friends, if I can be really honest with you, I want to avoid her. I want to avert my eyes from her because it's too painful. Why? Why is a young woman have no family and no support and nothing around her that she can rely on, sitting on the ground, the cold ground at Superstore, and people are dropping off groceries? Why? And part of me wants to ignore, and part of me wants to be indifferent to that, and part of me hungers for her situation and for the world and for the brokenness of her life. This isn't right. This isn't what God intended. Does the brokenness of our world ever bother you? Or do we sometimes choose, because it's too painful, to fill our lives with all kinds of other things to keep us distracted and occupied, to become self-satisfied, to become so well-adjusted that we don't experience hunger anymore? And Jesus says, blessed are you if you hunger for more. If you look at the world and your life and your family and your marriage and your friendships and injustice and you hunger for more, you hunger for righteousness. Is there anybody hungry today? And friends, if I'm really honest, the brokenness of the world and unrighteousness is not just out there, but it's in here too. Because sometimes I look in the mirror and I see unrighteousness. I see mixed motives and I see self-centeredness. And I wonder, why do I get so impatient and angry and sharp with the ones that I love? And in that moment, I'm hungry. God, I'm hungry for more of your reign and your rule to break into my life. I'm hungry. Why am I so quick to criticize and to stand in judgment of others? I'm hungry, God. Why do I get grumpy when things don't go my way? Why do I harbor resentment over petty and stupid little things? God, I'm hungry. Friends, do you ever look in the mirror and get dissatisfied with your own spiritual condition? Is anybody hungry? Does anybody say, God, I'm hungry for more of your kingdom to invade my life? God, I'm hungry for more of you. Is there anybody hungry? I'm hungry for healing because our family is on a journey with my dad, who's 82 years old and has dementia. And when I call my mom and she says, I feel like we're losing more and more of him every week, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for healing. And you know what I'm hungry for? I'm hungry to not hear of another friend who's diagnosed with cancer. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm hungry for a day when I don't have to hear that again. I don't have to hear about another member of our congregation who is diagnosed. I'm hungry for righteousness. Is anybody else hungry? Does anybody else see the brokenness in the world or in your life or in your family or in your relationships? Is anybody else hungry? Will these hungers that we have, we are told, these hungers for righteousness are filled? We're going to land with this. What does it mean for blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they will be satisfied? In what way is our hunger for righteousness satisfied? Well, we might think of the day when Jesus returns and his kingdom is fully realized, and Jesus comes and finishes setting everything right. When Jesus comes and does away with dementia and cancer and death and suffering, and he wipes every tear from our eyes, on that day, friends, we will be satisfied fully. But I think there's another way in which we are satisfied. When Jesus walked into the world to hungry people, he said, "Blessed are those who are hungry." And then he also went to say, are you hungry? Come to me. I'm the bread of life. I will feed you. I will satisfy you. And if you're thirsty, come to me. I'll give you living water and it will satisfy you. To people who were hungry and thirsty for righteousness, into the world walked someone who was righteousness himself. Jesus is the only truly righteous one. So friends, to hunger and thirst for righteousness also means that we hunger and thirst for Jesus himself, the righteous one. Jesus told us and his followers, "I will live the life that you could never live." He lived the perfectly righteous life. The righteous one offered his righteousness to us. So when we look in the mirror and we see the brokenness of our lives and we see unrighteousness, we're drawn to Jesus and we hunger for him because he becomes our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He sets us right with God. As we begin to set right and see how he sets right all the relationships in our lives. Here's a paradox that I don't understand, that somehow Jesus satisfies us, but he also stirs our hunger for more of him. How can you be hungry and satisfied at the same time? It is a paradox, to be sure. A.W. Tozer said this, "To have found God and yet still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love." That Jesus, the righteous one, satisfies us and yet stirs in us a hunger for more of him. And we keep returning again and again and again for more of him. And we declare, "God, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for our world. I'm hungry for myself. I'm hungry for you. Fill me again." A few years ago, I conclude with this. Went to my cousin's house, cousin's acreage. He lives just outside of Calgary, and my cousin is an Alberta beef kind of guy. And for this family reunion, he decided to cook steaks for everyone. And on this huge outdoor barbecue, he cooked the thickest, most tender, juiciest ribeye steaks I have ever eaten in my life. Now, if you're a vegetarian, this image is not going to work for you, but you have permission to translate it into whatever works for you. They were amazing. They satisfied us. Melt in your mouth ribeye steaks. Anybody getting hungry now? And a few days later, we were on this camping trip, and I decided to make steaks on our little mini barbecue. So I made them. And my daughter, who was 11 or 12 at the time, Alicia, just looked at me and said, "Dad, your steaks aren't nearly as good as your cousin's steaks." And I said, "Alicia, you are absolutely right. No contest." You know, once you've tasted something great, it's hard to settle for something else. It's hard to settle for something less. Once you've experienced Jesus, once you've tasted him, he stirs in us a hunger for more of him, to come back again and again and again, to say, "Jesus, I'm so hungry for you. I'm so hungry for the world, for you to set the world right. I'm so hungry about this problem that I see in my life and in the world, but God, I'm so hungry for you. Come again and fill me, satisfy me. Is anyone here hungry? Are you hungry today? Amen. Pray with me. Friends, in a moment, I'm gonna invite you to do something a little bit different. In a moment, I'm going to invite you that if you sense a hunger in your life, a hunger for righteousness, a hunger for the righteous one, Jesus, that you take a moment to express that hunger, to acknowledge that hunger. I'm gonna invite you to stand. Now, there's nothing extra spiritual about standing, to be sure. It's just a simple way that we might acknowledge and express our hunger for God, for more of him in our lives. Now, maybe you're here and you don't hunger God, but you want to. You want to hunger. I'm going to invite those of you who are hungry today to stand now and allow me to pray with you. If you're hungry, is there anyone here who's hungry? Jesus, we're hungry for you. Our hearts are broken. There's brokenness in our lives and all around our world. And we're hungry. Help us to not become indifferent, to ignore the brokenness, to become self-satisfied, to settle for comfortable middle-class lives where we don't need anything. But stir in us a hunger. Friends, just take a moment in the quietness of this place to express your hunger to God, whatever that may be. Jesus, fill our hunger. Satisfy our hunger and stir in us a craving for more of you. We pray in Christ's name.